Announced that due to Rabbi Katz's yard sign, the Shkel will be speaking briefly around 10 o'clock. Okay, so the topics for tonight's shir, Shoster Shkel and everyone here, huge crowd. Al Kapanim, tonight's topic is Meiser and Tzedakah. So a lot of people seem to be confused, or a lot of people are not sure as to, is there a difference? Is tzedakah and ma'aser really the same thing? Is there a difference between tzedakah and ma'aser or not? So it seems throughout the Paiskim that there's a distinct chiluk, there's a distinct difference between tzedakah and ma'aser. And that's as follows. Tzedakah is characterized as someone who just gives money to poor people without any sort of cheshbon whatsoever. Haphazardly, someone comes to him, a mashulach, whatever the case may be, without any cheshbon, he doesn't write it down, he doesn't keep tally on track of what he gives out. That's called the mitzvah of tzedakah. There's a separate mitzvah, a separate, total, distinct mitzvah of ma'aser, in which you have a distinct cheshbon of what you're doing, and that ma'aser happens to be that it's 10%. So in other words, if you give just plain, if you don't keep cheshbon, that's mitzvah of tzedakah. If you give it with a cheshbon, so you actually get two mitzvahs. You get the mitzvah of tzedakah, and you get the mitzvah of ma'aser. Now, the way that Masber, that the mitzvah is so much, A, the fact that you get another mitzvah when you give it through ma'aser, and B, more importantly so, is the thinking behind it, is that when you give tzedakah, so basically what you're doing is you're giving, we'll call it your own money, something that's yours, in your possession. When you're giving something with ma'aser, so in other words, what you're doing is, you're creating a partnership with the Rabbanu Shalom. So you're Rabbanu Shalom's partner. So if you're a partnership with the Rabbanu Shalom, the way the Kedushas Levi explains it, he says, so not only, you know, they always talk about, in Chassidus, they talk about it being milder than the Tzaitis, but here what happens is when you form a shutvis with the Rabbanu Shalom and you give 10%, that belongs to Rabbanu Shalom, that's Mila, the rest of the money as well. So it has a much higher meaning. That money has much higher Kedusha when it's given by Eifen of Ma'aser versus the Eifen of plain Tzedakah. So now, so therefore, one of the things that it does is that the halacha is, and again, I just want to preface that what we're saying tonight is not halacha l'ma'aser. Please ask your Rav, whoever it may be, to paskin your shailas. We will be talking about practical applications, but for halacha l'maaseh, please see your Rav or speak to the Rosh Kol. So they do say a hezber that once you say that is a distinct separate mitzvah of ma'aser, so the halacha is that if an ani, someone who is very poor, can't afford to give ma'aser, so the halacha is he should actually take whatever he has, separate a tenth, and give it back to himself. You say, what is he doing? He's not crazy? But the Lefidus Hezber makes a lot of sense because what you're doing is you're forming a partnership with the Rabbanu Shalom. It happens to be the recipient is yourself because you can't afford it, but what you're doing is actually forming a partnership with the Rabbanu Shalom. Fine. I just thought about it. I mean, it's brought down in Svarim, but maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's the only mitzvah in the Torah that each one, that the Torah emphasizes that each one of the others did. It doesn't talk about that each one of the others necessarily learn Torah. There's no emphasis on that. I don't think so. Or keep Shabbos. But Ma'aser, each one of the others, this is distinct makar from the Torah. By Avram it says, Vayitin lei Ma'aser mikol, that he gave it to Shem, Malki Tzedek. By Yitzchak it says, by Me'e Sha'arim, Rashi says, that Rabbi Seinu Amru, that was for Ma'aseris. By Yaakov it says, V'chol Asher titin li, so it's just fascinating, at least I think, that probably one of the only, if not the only mitzvah that the Torah emphasized that all three of us did. And l'chayim, it makes sense, l'fi the hazard that we said, that it's much more than just giving someone money. What you're doing is forming a partnership with the Rabbanu Shalom. Fine, so let's start with the following. This a lot to speak about, as usual, and we probably won't have enough time, so we'll try to condense it as much as possible. So the Gemara in Tainus says the following. Gemara in Tainus, Daf Ches Amud Beis, goes on to Daf Tes Amud Aleph. Vayomer Rabbi Yochanan, Ma'ad Chsiv, it says, Aser to Aser, What does it mean, aser to aser? So Rashi, that's what the Gemara says, aser b'shvil shetis asher. If you give maaser, you'll become rich. There's a famous Tosfos here. It's actually a long Tosfos. But basically, in a nutshell, what Tosfos says is a story. The Tosfos is being medayik that maaser is not only on mamonos, it's on everything. He's talking about a sada. So Tosfos says that a guy, someone left over his sons a field, and he said to them, Havi Zoya, the mitzvah of maaser, and you'll be successful. And he, after a while, he saw there was a lot of money, that he, or a lot of the field that he was giving away to maaser. So he stopped, and basically, what happened was the reverse. The only thing he got out of the field was a tenth of what he originally got. So that's the famous Tosfos over here in Lugadi Maaser. Now, so the Ramah writes, it's fascinating, the Ramah says that he's a tumua, that the Mechaber doesn't talk about maaser k'safin. The Mechaber really doesn't talk about the Hilchos maaser k'safin. It's really a complicated subject. So most of the Achronim deal with these issues that are not brought down by the Mechaber. So there's a beautiful sefer, just people want to know, there's a Minchas Tzvi from Rav Tzvi Spitz. He's a dayan, I think a remote. He writes a lot on Chesh Mishpat, but he has a beautiful sefer on it. And there's one from Rav Bloy, it's called Tzedakah Mishpat. So anyone who's interested, he really goes through the sugyas extremely well. So the shaila is as follows: what is Maaser? Is it the Raisa, the Rabbanan, or maybe none of the above? So the Mishnah in Peah, everyone knows, that says, Eile Dvarim She'elam Shia. Right, so one of them is Gemilas Chasadim. So on there, the Achronim speak out. So the Rav over there says it's the Raisa. He talks about Tzedakah and Maaser. He says it's the Raisa. Kivega there, and many other Achronim, the Aruch HaShulchan, say that it's only the Rabbanan. Most Ruba de Ruba of Paiskim hold that it's neither the Raisa nor the Rabbanan, but it's a Minik Toiv Ba'alma. So if he was, oh, it's only Minik Toiv, great. So it's not my Minik, you know. So you just potted yourself from a lot of money. But Lefi, what we just said, is that if someone, besides the Gemara's Havtacha and everything like that, but besides that, we're saying that when you join in a partnership with Rabbanu Shel Olam, so you know what, if it's a minik type, that sounds like a good minik to me, where basically everything you do, you're doing with an Havtacha from Rabbanu Shel Olam as your partner. You know, I mean, people have partners. I don't think you can find a better partner than the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Fine. There's actually, you know, like we're in Rabbi Shapiro's shul, so we'll say, Gematria as well. This is brought down from the Derech Moshe. He says that if you take aser to aser, if you take a tenth of to aser, then it comes out to be mazel, your mazel. Because if you take a tuf, 10% is 4 is mem, and then 70 ayin is zayin is zayin. Then you have shin is lamed, and resh is chaf. So you have mazel. So al kaponim, that's what you have out of Maaser. If you give Maaser, I guess you have good mazel. So, but also it's brought down in Paiskim, besides that the bracha is not chal, unless you talk a did of oifen of Maaser versus the oifen of tzedakah. Meaning, like we said before, haphazardly you just give out money and you don't do it with any sort of cheshbon, the bracha is not necessarily chal. You say, what am I doing? I'm doing such a good thing. I'm giving out so much money. But if you don't do it b'cheshbon, in the cheshbon of Maaser, some Paiskim hold that the bracha is not necessarily chal. That? It could be, but you're not keeping cheshbon. That's the problem. In other words, it has to be. It's like we'll say later. Also, in other words, you have a business partner. Any business partner you have, you're gonna start giving cheshbon like that. You're not gonna have a partner for long. You have your partner. You have to give a cheshbon. You have a cheshbon. We'll talk later. Chavetz Chaim recommends at least twice a year, if not once a year, to actually make a cheshbon, sit down, and do a real cheshbon. What's that? Taxes. We'll see. It's funny. It's almost very negated to taxes. A lot of this stuff. We'll see in a moment. Okay, so it's funny, I saw a story in Reb Chaim Foyer. I took it home last night. He has a sefer on tzedakah, a very nice sefer. So he brings down a story there, because it was interesting, because always as a child, I always remember hearing that if you have a mouse problem, you hang up a picture of Reb Shail Karastira. They sell it, I think, in the stores even. So I know, like, there's a Shaya Gross, there's an anacle. So I think I even once asked him, like, whatever, what's the makar? You know, so I saw in the sefer, I think this is the Makar. He says the following story. He says, so it says as follows, that there was in town, there was a balabas who was very machban on giving maaser. He had a shop, and he was mamish machban on giving maaser. And one day, it was a grocery store, his shop was overrun by mice. So he ran to a child carrier and he said, I need help me out. So he said, you makbar amaisa? He says, absolutely, I'm 100% makbar amaisa. And they checked him out and he was right. So he said, child carrier put up a plaque, a psak din in the person's store, saying that the mice have a chiv to leave because this person gives maisa. It's really based on the Gemara in Demai. Gemara brings down such a Gemara where people's fields were overrun by mice, and it said the reason was because they didn't give maisa. So Kapanim, all the mice left, and at the end of the story is cute. They said that the next day the Gaisha neighbor came running in and said, how come his store is overrun full of mice? But anyway, so that seems to be the makar of putting in. So if someone has mice problems, I think before running out to go get a picture of child care seal, which is probably a good thing anyway, one should be checking his mice activities to see that if it's up to date or not. Okay. Al Kapanim. What's that? Anyway, so let's get a little more practical right now. Again, please, it's not halacha l'maisa, just we're talking in. So Yerushalmi writes that the first year you give maisa from your principal assets, and the following years you give from the profit based on your assets that you have in there. So we'll talk about a couple of things. Let's go with presents, inheritance, and dowry. So we'll start as follows. So let's say, l'mashal, someone gives you a present, a new car, or you inherit a house. So there, the tzedakah mishpati brings down, the blood brings down that tzemachloikis ha-poskim, because those are non-monetary objects. We're talking about regular mice. Everyone knows you earn money. You take money and you take off 10%, and that's what you give. How about a non-monetary object, like a car or a house? What's the din over there? So he holds, the blood holds, you have to estimate the value of whatever it is, the car, home, and you'd have to give ma'aser off that value. But Reb Chaim Kanievsky brings down in the Sefer Derech Emunah, b'shem the Chazinish, that the Chazinish held that from non-monetary objects, of a house or a car, one would not have to give ma'aser. So if someone gives you a car as a present, you're good to go, and you don't have to give ma'aser on that. Now, it's brought down, the Taz, Shreis Chai V'Kayim, that it was a minig, it seems that they would give they would give a dowry to the Chasam Tala, and the parents, in order that the children shouldn't go through the hardship of giving Miser, they would take off Miser and then give it to the children. So the Taz says, your mom is missing the point. The whole point is the recipient is the one who has to give Miser, not the one who's giving it. So therefore the Taz holds he would have to give Miser again, which is pretty much a pella. However, Ramesha writes, in such a type of case, where if the parents gave it for a specific purpose, let's say the parents gave it so that the son-in-law or the Edom should learn in Kaidel, like you should, so if something like that, for a specific purpose, then where it would be a grace to the parents, then Ramesha held that was mutter, even if the parents gave the miser beforehand. That's where Ramesha holds. Now,
what if they didn't give
the
miser?
What's that?
What if that is their miser?
Okay, that's a separate issue. We'll talk about that later. So in other words, if you can just support them with their mice, that's something else. Okay. What's that?
I take off my mice.
Yeah, but the child is, when you got money, you have to give mice off it. So they went intentionally, not you should give mice, they gave the mice. That's the case. Okay, so Moshe writes. No. Moshe is saying that the Taz is time talking about where they gave them money. Not for any specific purpose. Here, where they're saying they're giving it for a specific purpose, for a specific thing, that's where Moshe holds will be.
Giving the money to tzedakah on their behalf?
No, they're giving it to them, so they should be able to live and learn in Kollel, let's say. That's where Moshe has it will be. Now, Moshe does write, however, if they put the money into a bank account and earns interest, they would have to pay the mice off the interest. Now, that says Moshe, and
only off the interest.
Yes, only off the interest for now. However, this is only if they're giving them just like for a specific purpose. However, some parents and in-laws are exceedingly generous and they mamish support them fully. There's nothing, they don't have to pay for anything. So in such a type of case, it's like a katan asamach al-shulchan aviv, mamish, and they would not have to give maisa whatsoever. It's like they're living at home. Fine. Okay, so now let's talk a little bit about how you determine annual income with regard to maisa. So, one thing is, as a derech klal, you should know that only profit earned from buying and selling is subject to ma'aser. Something that increases intrinsically in value but is not sold, is just sitting there. For example, stocks. Someone plays around with stocks, and he's a day trader, right? So, you know, goes up and down and up and down and up and down. You say, oh, he's up and up, but the money's still in the market. You don't pull the money out, that doesn't do anything. You have no chiv maisa because the money is still in play, as they call it. That doesn't do anything. Now, so Moshe says a big chiddush. He talks about a house. Moshe writes in Yeridea, he says the following. Let's say, it hasn't happened in North Miami Beach lately, but let's say if your home value went up, not because of inflation, your home value went up, or a devaluation of the local currency, either one of the two, says Moshe, no miser has to be taken off that, because that's an intrinsic value, it's not a separate thing. That's what Moshe holds, the chiddush. Okay, let's talk about taxes. Let's save the questions later, only because I don't mind answering later. We're not going to get anywhere or close to anywhere. So let's just talk about taxes. We'll go through a couple of things that could be deducted, perhaps. So, income tax. So, income tax, basically, the way income tax works is that you're basically working for the United States government, for Obama. You're basically not earning that money. That money goes straight to the government. You don't have to pay any money off the income, any MISO off the income tax. The same thing works with Social Security tax. Even though eventually you'll get use of it, supposedly, if it's still around in 30 years or now, whatever the case may be, if that'll still be around, so then the only time you'll have to pay MISA is when you actually use, like we said before. And otherwise, till now, you're giving it to the United States government to do as they please with it. Now, however, if you do, let's say you put it in an IRA or any type of savings, so in essence, it's the savings account, so what you earned, you banked it, as you say. If you bank it, then basically you have to pay MISA. Stocks, like we said before, since it has, until you actually pull out the stock, it really doesn't affect your MISA. How about travel and food? So, you know, in business expense, they give you 50% off for food and travel. But in regards to MISA, so the Aruch HaShulchan holds that you're allowed to deduct only the difference of what, in other words, as follows. You have to eat anyway, right? So you're going to eat. If you'd be at home, you'd be eating your supper, let's say, would cost you $50. Now you're on the road, or you're in Florida, where everything is 10 times the price. So you're there, and all of a sudden now it costs you $75. So says Aruch HaShulchan, you can deduct that $25 for Maisa. The Michas Yitzchak says a chiddush as well. Yitzchak Weiss says, if you buy a fancy suit, let's say you dress like a shlach, and then it comes to a business meeting, you have to put on a tie, and I think you don't have one, you got to go buy one. It says in the Chizitzel, you can deduct that as well. Rabbi Lai brings down an interesting case. How about if someone's wife has to go work, so there's no one at home, so you need someone to clean the house, so you hire a cleaning person. So you could deduct the cleaning because it's an expense. Basically, it's a business expense because in order for it to work, she has to have someone at home. Says a blow, you're allowed to deduct the cleaning lady. However, he says some chiddush as well, that if the cleaning lady is a geshikta cleaning lady, right? And avada, you don't want to take the pilot of chaver. But let's say they're a geshikta cleaning lady, and they iron for you. So this way, you don't have to send your shirts to the cleaners. So she saves you whatever amount of money. That amount of money cannot be deducted. Or any other type of function that she serves besides actual cleaning that she does for you that you would normally pay for, that's where you can knock the duck. That's the way he says it. I saw the way he puts it down. Quiet. The way he puts it down is as follows. The Rapoyer. He says it very nicely. He says there's something called the cost of production and the cost of consumption. So, like income tax and Social Security tax is a production cost. It's a business expense. That's why anything that's expensed by business, the same thing is pata by ma'aser. However, let's say sales tax, for example, he says. Let's say it's sales tax. Sales tax is an intrinsic part of the product. So sales tax is cost of consumption. Therefore, you would be chayv on ma'aser on sales tax. Now, same thing with property taxes. You know, you live in these places where you're supporting 90% of the Schwarzes in the public school and the Mexicans, but you don't get any, you know, they're playing soccer every night with your light bulbs that you're paying for. So you say, it's not me, it's them, right? I'm not having a NOAA, it doesn't make a difference. You have the right to have a NOAA, you choose not to play with the Mexicans, that's your problem. So that's a cost of consumption, and you would have a chiv in Maisa. Now, Rav Tzvi...
What's the case exactly?
What's that? You pay property. You pay. You have your bill. You pay property taxes. Your property taxes are for the locale or state, whatever, that provides you basic services. Whether you use the services or not, that's your issue.
Part of the mortgage.
What's that?
Part of the mortgage
as well. Right. I don't want to get too whatever. Let's just keep it as basic as possible because we're running out of time. Tzvi Spitz has a chiddush. He says that in this type of scenario where one sells his house and all these years he's been paying interest, so the interest becomes part of the value of the house. That brings up the value of the house, so that becomes an expense. And therefore, you can deduct that from your ma'aseh as well. Just as a general rule, there's a lot of intricate halachas. I just want to cover the basics to give you a sort of a taste of it. But if you'd like to speak about it later, I'll be more than happy to talk to you more. Basic corporations. Any corporation, the chiyuv ma'aser is only on an individual. It doesn't work. There's no chiyuv ma'aser on a corporation. So only works on the dividend that an individual gets. He has to pay ma'aser of that. But the corporation itself has no chiyuv ma'aser whatsoever. I'm sorry? Oh, okay, we're going to get to that in a minute. Very good point. We're going to get to that in a minute. Doesn't make a difference what the scenario is. You know, I'll say it now. Thanks for interrupting with the kasha, because I'll say it now. So the thing is as follows. That the halacha is that the Chafetz Chaim brings, that's what he says, you should make a cheshbon. The halacha is, if you combine, like you make a cheshbon, and you lump together all your losses and all your profits, then you can, whatever comes out, then out of the mishmash, the bottom line, that's what you have a chiyuv ma'aser on. So yes, you can take the loss from there and the profit from here, as long as you make the cheshbon. If it's haphazard, like you said, it doesn't work. But if you do the cheshbon as it appears to ma'aser, then it's you can definitely do that. What's that?
The house devalued. It's not that it's if you sell it.
No, I'm saying no. If you sell it, no. Whatever. If you pull out, nothing. Whoa. Excuse me. You're right. All I'm saying is that if you pull it out, the money. If the money's still sitting there, it's not no gain. That's what we said before. It's only something that's in the bank. You got money for it, that's what you get ma'isa for. Nothing else.
So only if you sold the house.
If you sold the house. Yes. You sold the house. What? Yeah. Yeah. Now you have your losses and your profits. You put that column in between, you add it up, and whatever comes down the bottom line, that's your ma'isa. Now, if you don't sell it, it's nothing. It means nothing. What? What? Okay. Now, so basic business expenses you can deduct. Anything that's a basic business expense, like your employee salary, advertising, and stuff like that, can be deducted from ISA as well.
What's
that? Health insurance. I don't think it's a personal thing. I don't think you can deduct. There's a shita. There's one shita that most akhrenim argue. Anything that's a personal gain has nothing to do with a business expense is not deductible from ISA. So I would assume health insurance.
How would the health insurance an employer is to pay for?
That's an expense. That's a business expense. That is deductible. Right. But your own personal health insurance is not a... Okay, please, I'm sorry. I'd love to entertain questions. Now, so there's a machlekes achrayim in regards to purchasing vehicles or property. The machlekes is if it's an expense or it's a capital investment. I know we're saying terms that are not familiar to everybody. But the bottom line is, it's a machlekes achrayim whether it can be deducted from ISA or not. Now, like we mentioned before, the person has two businesses, no matter what it is, one makes a profit and one has a loss. If you make the cheshbon and you combine it together, the bottom line is what you can deduct from ISA. Now, if you get a tax refund because you pay charity, how about that type of case, right? So the halacha is, in the law of the land, if you pay charity, they deduct it from they lower your what amount of taxes you have to pay. The more charity you pay, whatever, that's the basic rule. So let's say, because you pay charity, which technically could have been your ma'isa, that's why they gave you, let's say you have to pay 10 grand. And now you only have to pay 8 grand. You have $2,000 of, they give you back a $2,000 refund. So you don't have to pay the $2,000 belongs to you. You have to pay only $200, 10% of that. Now, so like we said before, the Chafetz Chaim, again, there's so many different scenarios. We'll just keep to a couple of them. The Chafetz Chaim suggests a person should do an accounting at least twice a year, like we said, at least once a year. Many people I know have a separate bank account, and a separate checkbook for Maisa, which is an exceptional idea, because that's really keeping cheshbon. Like we said before, if you have a true partner, you're actually keeping cheshbon. Now, there are some place. Okay, who do you have to give your Maisa for? Because there's a lot of interesting questions we didn't get to yet. There are some paiskim that hold that Maisa must go to Aniyim. The Radvaz holds that Maisa money must go to Aniyim. You can't do anything else with it. And he holds that the din of Aser Beshvil Tetzis Asher only applies, that bracha only applies if you give your money to Aniyim. But since we said that most paiskim agree that Maisa today, but always was, Maisa is a minig ba'alma, it's a minig tayv ba'alma. Since it's only a minig tayv, says the Chassam Sefer, technically you can do whatever you want with it, as long for tzedakah, not necessarily to Aniyim, as long as you made a tanai before and saying, I'm taking my Maisa money, I'm going to spend it on other things besides Aniyim. Let's say, for example, so let's just give a few quick examples regarding that. Now, so just important to note, so the halacha is, even if you say, I want to do maisers for mitzvahs, use maiser money for a mitzvah that is chiyuvos. You have a mitzvah of lulav, you have a mitzvah of esrog, you cannot take maiser money and purchase it. However, let's say, shalech manos, and you're the type that gives out 570,000 baskets of shalech manos, so you yoytze to the mitzvah right away, in the beginning. So anything afterwards, if you feel like it, and or matnas aniyim, so you are allowed to use maisa money for that, because the chiyuv you cannot. Anything past the chiyuv, one is allowed to. How about
if it's going to a poor person?
Right. I'm talking about aniyim, a true tzedakah, not stam because you want to show up. Right, that wouldn't happen anyway. But anyway, so the point is, let's say you want to purchase seats in the shul. So you say, oh, big deal, I don't mind. I'll use, even though it's $650, whatever the case may be, I'll use my maisa money. No, since be'etzim is part of the shul. I don't know if it's a chiyuv per se, but since you would have paid it anyway, so you cannot. In other words, if you want to be in the shul, you have to pay that money. What's that? Again, so if you want to be the cheshbon, speak to your local rav. Now, I don't know if he'll be your local rav after that cheshbon, but okay. So basically, in the olden times, they used to purchase svarim. It wasn't so benimtza; it was very expensive. Rabbi Yashiv holds, and Avdi Yashiv brings down from a Friedlander. He says they used to put in the sefer. You buy a mum and mice, and you have to put in. It's hafka lakol. Anyone who wants can use it. It was bought with maisa money, but today it's benimtza and it's cheap. Svarim are not so expensive. So Rabbi Yashiv says one should not do that today. Now, how about a yeshiva dinner? Rabbi Moshe holds one would be allowed to use maisa money. However, you have to. What's that? It depends if you're coming on the Parkway and from Lakewood. Yeah, I know the cheshbon. Right, the Verazan is expensive. It's like. What, $17 now? What is it?
11.
Well, both ways. Whatever. 18. Okay, anyway, so the bottom line is, Moshe holds, even if you conduct yeshiva dinner, but you'd have to deduct the meal that you would have eaten. Meaning, like we said before, anything beyond what your normal expense would have been can be deducted. I will talk about raffle tickets in a minute. I just want to get to tuition. So let's get to tuition. I'm out of time, right? Okay. Tuition, mamish, for 2 minutes, and then give the floor to Rosh Kyle. What's that? Right, you spend time in this. All right, so the bottom line is, tuition, the consensus of Kamat, every Paisik out there, is that it's usher to use money from Meiser for tuition. However, so first the Chavetz Chaim explains why, and Abbas Kassel says the Chavetz Chaim, why not? Why can't you use? It's Janus Mitzvah. You're supporting Torah institutions. Says the Chavetz Chaim, the reason is because since you have a chiyuv to teach your son Torah. Whoa. Right. So the point is as follows: We have a chiyuv to teach your son Torah. Since you have a chiyuv, any mitzvah chiyuv, you cannot use ma'aser money. Says Rav Moshe, that's very nice, but nowadays, since in the United States of America, the law is that every child must go to school. It's one of those phrases or something, no child left behind, something like that. Bottom line is, every child has to go to school, including girls. If you don't go to a Beis Yaakov or the like, then you will end up in a public school. That'll endanger your yahadus. Says Rav Moshe, you have a chiyuv to send your daughter to a Beis Yaakov, therefore, you cannot use maisa money. However, there are some heterim, and there are some leeway. So, there's any yeshiva administrators in the room, please close your ears. So here's the way it works. Is that the halacha is that you have a chiyuv to teach your son Torah. And you have a chiyuv to pay whatever amount that would take to teach your son Torah. So that means is that you only have to pay tuition what true tuition would cost to teach your son Torah. So now I know it's a very funny number. Everyone has different ideas of what that means as to correct tuition. How much does it cost for you to teach the person's child? That's the amount that you cannot use ma'aseh for. Anything beyond that. For example, let's say you go to all the yeshivas around here out of town. In town, I never heard of this stuff. But out of town, they have a building fee, a security fee, a clown fee, a this fee, a that fee. All those fees are not to teach your son Torah. All those fees technically can be used from ma'aseh money. However, like we said, it's one book some safer. One would have to make a tanai and tell them, by the way, this is coming from ma'aseh money. I don't think it'll help you with your negotiations, but that's just a way you can do it and use ma'aseh money. Another point where one would be allowed to do it is,
to tell them.
What's that? No, you have to say it for yourself, whatever. I'm not sure. The less they know, the better, right? They know everything about you anyway, trust me. Okay, the bottom line is that follows. They ask you for your maid's receipt when the last time you went to Orlando, they know everything about you. So the bottom line is as follows. So let's say your child, again, you have a chiyuv to teach him Torah. So let's say your child is a teenager and he knows how to learn. Amazing. You taught him, he went to yeshiva and they actually did what they were supposed to do, and the child knows how to learn. You have no more chiyuv. Let's say the child's 18, he's a ben Torah. So that tuition that you're paying now is not chiyuv. You're not chiyuv to do it. He knows how to learn already. You did your chiyuv. You're allowed to use that for with tuition money. However, if you send your child, let's say, out of town, and he goes to room and board, again, you'd have to deduct the room and board that you would pay when you're living at home. You'd have to deduct that as well. The same thing would apply to girls. Girls, you only have a chiyuv only initially. However, seminary, which costs a fortune anyway, you know, whatever it is. So, Mela, you probably would be able to deduct the same thing by girls. What's that? Huh? There happens to be an interesting Aruch HaNeh. I couldn't find it. I spoke about this a while back. I couldn't find it. The Aruch HaNeh writes regarding a Tinik Shenishba, meaning the question is, what's called, the Aruch HaNeh writes, everyone knows, the Chazanish holds, that today's the people off the derech, half of them are, well, these people don't know anything like an Eretz Yisrael, they're classified as a Tinik Shenishba. So I remember seeing that the Aruch HaNeh writes in the Tshuva that he writes that what's the exact category, he says, if they don't have a high school education, I think, he says, then that would be classified still today as a Tinik Shenishba. So I guess that would be the Chiyuv as well, probably based on that Aruch HaNeh, would probably base something like that. If you would have to give them a high school education, and after that, your chiyuv was done, and basically you'd be able to use ma'aseh. Rosh Kaila would like to say if you want.
Just every year the yard site of Ramatul Katz, who's the Tazer Shiva, is dedicated by his uncle Dovi Katz. I don't know if he's here. He'd be hiding behind there somewhere. The truth of the matter is, it's a little bit of a personal thing for me in that Ramatul Katz was the founder of Tel Zeshiva together with his brother-in-law, Rabbi Meir Bloch, in Tel Zeshiva, Cleveland, who he actually escaped miraculously, and he was able to get out of Tel Zeshiva in 1941, and that's why I'm here, Bikitzer, because my father is his Talmud in Bikitzer. But Lemaisa, one of the aspects of Ramatul, how to touch a yid like this up is, you see how much a person can accomplish just from being. He had this tremendous personality. He was a natural leader who was able to mamish be manhig every bocher, every person ad hayoyim, that his talmidim are all. He was maimed so many talmidim who became leaders, following in his way of being a manhig. And lemaisa, he's the one who shtal avek tells yeshiva hayoyim, whatever came from tells yeshiva today, together with the Rebbe Meir, since 1941 is him. It means Tel Zeshiva Cleveland and all the Talmidim and all the Marbitzei Torah and the whole Cleveland Heights and everything that goes on there in New York. And Tel Zeshiva Chicago also. Most of Torah in Chicago, I shouldn't say it's allowed, but most of the Torah that happened in Chicago was B'schus Ramatul Katz, and that he fought like a real leader and he broke through major barriers to create the Chicago to become a Malkum Torah, that because it became a Malkum Torah, Lakewood was able to even get into Chicago, all b'schus from Uncle Katz. So it's his yahrzeit this week. We have Elif and Neshama that were masker. It's godless. And we thank Dovi Katz for being menad of the Mishmar tonight.
Time more than that.